Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm back. I've missed you. Here at the Plus Mommy podcast, the theme is From Bumps to Bellies, We Talk About It All. And if you're new here, that's what we do. I am a certified childbirth educator, and for over a decade, I've been advocating for people in larger bodies during pregnancy and well beyond. This show normally has guests sharing their pregnancy, birth, postpartum journeys, guest experts from pregnancy to body image, body love, fat advocacy. We really talk about it all. And then there are some episodes where it's just you and me, and we hang out and we talk about tough things or real life things or things that are on my mind or in the news. And today, that's going to be one of these episodes, but it's going to be a catch-up because it's been a while since we've had an episode, and we are committed to weekly episodes moving forward. I mean, indefinitely, let's hope, but we've had so many breaks along the way, and we've made a decision and a little bit of a pivot to hopefully ensure that there won't be breaks moving forward. So if you're new to the show, I don't know that this will be the best episode for you. This episode is really for me and my besties. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time and were like, where did Jen go? I mean, unless we hang out over on Plus Mommy on Instagram, then you know where I went. But as always, the podcast is far more intimate, where I can spend a lot more than 60 seconds giving you an update. So again, if you're new to the show, maybe check out one of the other, like, over 200 episodes with amazing, great topics and stories. But if you've been around for a while, I feel like I owe you an update. So let's do it. Well, the last episode we had was one where we're like, hey, we're back. We're excited. And it was Chris and I, my husband and partner in all ways, including for this podcast where he's the editor. We're talking about our relationship and giving, you know, a background and our story. And we had just celebrated 15 years of marriage and unpacking fun things there. And we were truly excited to, like, go on and keep giving you weekly shows. But days later, his eye had a retinal detachment. And this wasn't the first time. Chris was born at 28 weeks, 45 years ago. And back in those days, they put these tiny little premature babies in the incubator and over-oxygenated them. And now these little babies are in their 40s or older, and many of them are going blind. And my husband is now in that phase of life. Don't worry, there's now medication they give to babies when they are born that early and they don't over-oxygenate like they do now. So it's not something that we need to worry about now, but it's something that I always knew would eventually happen, that his retinas were so deteriorated at such a young age that every time we go to the retina center, we're like the youngest people there by like 40 years. But it is very hard seeing the person you love going through this. He had a full retinal detachment surgery on his right eye a few years prior, and now this was his left. And there's no notice when this happens. He'll start to have some visual impairments or see streaks and go to the doctor, and literally they need you in surgery within 24 to 48 hours, because once the retina detaches, it is detached. That's your vision in that eye, whether partial or fully is gone. And the recovery process is intense, especially if you have an extreme detachment like Chris. They literally put this gas bubble behind your eye to help hold the repair in place. So you have to lay on your stomach with your head down like for 2.5 weeks. Like, it is just, you know, at some points I was like, wow, to just like not have to do anything but lay there. You're like, well, that wouldn't be too bad. And then you realize your back hurts, and the only time you can hold your head up is to go to the bathroom or eat, and you can't do much, and you're exhausted, and you're not supposed to read, and like, there's all these things, it's so much. And then when he can sleep on his side, because he's not a belly sleeper, but also you don't really put your head down like that when you're sleeping. So I got him a pregnancy sleep pillow, which came real in handy because it helped to keep him on the side that he needed to lay on while he slept. So keep those pregnancy sleep pillows if you ever need them for a family member who's going through retinal detachment. But when he had this detachment and had to go to surgery, I also had to go to my very first in public speaking engagement again since COVID shut down the world. And in fact, I was supposed to speak at the same engagement the year prior, but I got COVID for the first time. So it was very hard as a wife to be like, my husband needs emergency surgery, but I also had to cancel on this amazing engagement a year ago. And like, clearly if I don't go, I wouldn't be invited back, and it wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be good, and I wouldn't feel good about it either. So I left him. But I left him in very capable hands. His mom and dad came down to be with him. They live about an hour and a half away from us, and his aunt and uncle are local. And the community, my community, our community, and this community here listening really came together. I just did one post saying we're in this situation, is very expensive. You know, you have to meet your deductible immediately and all these things. And I just did one story sharing a link for support and was overwhelmed by the response. So thank you if you're listening and supported us through that. And he couldn't work, right? He couldn't work this whole time and there's no notice. It's just like, you cannot work. You have to like have surgery and then lay in your stomach. So all that to be said, literally the editor of my podcast and my husband and love of my life, our whole world was flipped upside down immediately. So there wasn't another episode since then. So we're dealing with all of that, right? And then at the very same time, Google, I think you're probably familiar with Google. Google did a massive algorithm update. And it started to deeply impact the traffic to my plus size birth website, which is the main source of income for my family. The blog traffic, I have ads on the site. And then when people purchase anything like a plus size belly band or a plus size maternity gown, I recommend, I get a very, very small percentage, like itsy bitsy, but it does add up because of the volume of traffic to my website. So I started to see a huge drop. And also around the same time, I went to a hot springs with a friend for my birthday. On my birthday, we go to this hot springs and I was wearing this little tankini, but it was like a dress. Not really a dress, but it was a skirt, right? A skirt. And I, you know, have a very large chest, so there was some cleavage, but it like draped down in the front to like cover most of my belly. Like, it was a big step forward for me wearing like what felt like a bikini, even though it was a tankini. I mean, it's kind of a bikini. You can see the pictures. They're actually on the site at Plus Mommy because of what happened after this. And I shared some very tasteful photos of me at the hot springs, just, you know, celebrating my birthday and celebrating my body and just loving myself for who I am, as the messages I share here all the time. Well, I got banned from Meta. Again, this was the second time this has happened to me where I was on the verge of fully losing my entire account. It was very stressful, very upsetting to go through this again, basically because I have a larger body, more skin was detected by their AI, and I was flagged for nudity. So imagine this. Your spouse or your partner, their income is completely, like, he's not a salary employee. He's a baker. If he doesn't work, he doesn't get paid. And also, we have to pay into medical insurance every month. So not only is he not getting paid, we're going to owe money back, right? That's happening. Then I'm seeing like this business I've built for over a decade start to just tank with traffic, which means tank with income. And then a community that I've spent over a decade building. Like, I mean, my Facebook following is over 230,000, and amazing. Plus Mommy and Plus Size Birth both have over 30,000 on Instagram. Like, it was like, oh, wait, what? That was all gone. And there was no way of disputing it. Even though I was Meta verified, I couldn't talk to anyone. It was so devastating. Thankfully, I did have one contact directly through Meta that I was able to get through to because I had gone to an event here in Albuquerque that Meta put on. So I made some contacts. Without that, I think I would have lost everything because this was the second time my account had been taken down completely inappropriately. So it's been a lot, in other words. And I mean, I feel like it's another excuse because this isn't the first time I've made an episode saying, sorry, I've been gone. But the last time we had a huge break, and we've had small in between, was when my husband's best friend passed. So it's just been life, right? Life. And also the podcast doesn't really bring in a big income. We have a big following and big downloads and you guys are amazing and thank you. But I've never really had ads because I don't like ads as a podcast listener. But a very wise, wise woman, Laura of the Big Fat Positive Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast said, do you think Joe Rogan wouldn't have ads? I was like, or any other male podcaster? And I was like, oh, right, they all have ads and make money with their shows. I was just so afraid that maybe an ad would air that wouldn't sit well with the listener, and then I'd lose your trust, right? Because sometimes, even though you can block off categories, sometimes things seep in that don't align with your values. And unless you're able to pick every single ad played, which I don't have enough downloads to have that much control for just the in-stream ads. I can block off categories, but I can't preview everything. And also, that would be a lot of extra work, too. I don't know. I'm just so afraid of upsetting someone or losing your trust because I'd hope you know how hard I work. You know, you hear it with me as I interview guests. They might say something that I think might make someone else feel uncomfortable, and I'm always trying to clarify things and you know, make sure everyone feels supportive. Like, even if we talk about certain topics, I'm like, but if you make this other choice, know that you're included too. And it's just who I am, right? Like, I was a camp counselor for a very long time. I want everyone to feel good and to feel welcome and feel supported, while also knowing that anytime something happens in our lives, the podcast is the first to go on pause. Because it's the thing that doesn't make, you know, enough of an income to make sure it's still going. So you might be hearing an ad on this episode because Chris and I have joined the She Podcast Network. And I feel really good about this. Jessica, who's the founder of it, has really cultivated an incredible resource and community of podcasters who... for female podcasters and non-binary podcasters to feel welcome and like we can thrive in an industry that is very predominantly male-dominated. So that's a big leap. It's a shift, but I'm hoping by doing so, we won't pause and you won't miss us, even when, hopefully, knock on wood, like, if anything else throws our lives upside down, we will have enough episodes ready to go. And also, I'm not beyond saying, if you are a brand that caters to people in larger bodies and is very, you know, sensitive and cognizant of that and is size inclusive around pregnancy or parenthood, you know, send me an email, jen@plusmommy.com, and let's talk, because I definitely would like to have some more sponsors of the show. But as you just heard me clarify, I'm real picky because I don't want to lose your trust. But also, I cannot keep going at this pace while bankrupting my family. And unfortunately, that is the situation that it feels like we're in. I've had to borrow money from family. My blogging income is now down 50%. So I'm committed to this podcast for as long as it can go and as long as we can start making even a little bit of income from it. I mean, I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, y'all. We don't need a lot. We don't need a lot. But like many, we are really struggling right now, very much struggling. So it's embarrassing to talk about, but I felt like I owed it to you and a deeper understanding of why the show gets put on hold more often than we'd ever want, because I love it. Like, I love doing this. Otherwise, I wouldn't continue it. Like, just the ability to talk to you and to connect with you on such a deeper level than Instagram provides, and to connect with the most amazing humans, from people who I've deeply admired and wanted to get to meet and talk to, I mean, I gotta say this because even more exciting, it means even more to me, is like people who share their birth stories and their journeys. Like, that to me is like that you entrust me with your story and putting it out into the world. Like, it to me, it's like the best thing ever. And I really just sit back and hold space for those stories and ask genuine questions out of curiosity. And it is one of my favorite things. So all that to say, that's the update. But I want to say one other thing, especially for any birth professionals listening, is when our lives and the show got put on hold, that opened up actually time for me, as I was helping Chris over those 2 weeks with like preparing food and trying to get him some comfort meals that he enjoyed, and like helping him through like literally not being able to do anything but lay on his belly and watch. Well, he watched like all of Sons of Anarchy in another show, keeping him entertained. But it finally made me realize, oh my goodness, I have this extra time to do the thing that I've been wanting to do for so many years. And that was to launch a course for birth professionals on size inclusivity. And it launched, and it is a size-friendly birth, and it is over 6 hours of evidence-based video information covering all you could want to know about supporting people in larger bodies throughout pregnancy, from understanding the plus size pregnancy experience, unpacking weight bias and maternity care, to understanding prenatal care guidance, and all the different testing and recommendations and digging into the evidence around them. And then how do we support people during birth and postpartum? And then in the end, like championing a size-friendly birth practice and what language to use, and you know, even how to market yourself as someone who's size-friendly. And I was also able to fully update the size-friendly directory of birth professionals who are size inclusive that want to be listed in a directory, to profile that and to help connect families who are looking for size friendly, like doulas and care providers. And I really want to expand it to, you know, IBCLCs and therapists and nutritionists and like anyone who connects and supports families throughout pregnancy, birth, and postpartum in this directory. So I'm very proud of all the work I was able to do. I also got the course approved for nursing contact hours for any nurses, and also from the International Childbirth Education Association, ICEA, for general contact hours. And if there's another organization you think like, well, Jen, if this was, you know, if I were able to get contact hours from this organization, I will apply. I will apply the course. But I'm very proud of this course and the people that have taken it. The feedback has just been incredible. But it is very long. It is 6.5 hours because I literally could not stop. Like, I just kept, the outline kept growing because I've been wanting to develop this course for so many years. And I have spoken around the country and I've taught, especially doulas. I've done trainings for many years. But I wanted to wait until I was fully ready and fully confident and knew all that I felt like I needed to make sure could get put out into the world about size inclusivity in maternity care. So I'm really proud of it. I hope that you will check it out. It's available on the Plus Size Birth website, and you can also go to sizefriendly.com to see the directory. And people need to complete the course before they can be listed in the directory. I've had one of the first size-friendly doula directories that was ever created many, many, many years ago. And I've had it for years, but I just got feedback of like, Jen, anyone can just be listed. And if they say they're size-friendly, and I was like, you're right, people need training. So that seed was planted years ago, and I just finally was able to have the time and the ability and invested a lot into the course platform. So it's really slick and user-friendly. And okay, I'll stop going on and on about this course. I'm clearly very proud of it, but I need support getting it into the world. So if this is something that you or people that you know who are, whether they are an OB, a midwife, a doula, a childbirth educator, an IBCLC, a nurse, a postpartum professional, like anyone who supports families throughout maternity care and postpartum, please check this out and please share it with others. So thanks. All right. Well, that's what I've been up to. I've also been up to preparing for my baby to graduate from middle school and enter into high school and figuring out what high school is the best selection for him and like all these things that I'm like, Wayne, how did this happen? Like, I thought we were just looking at preschools recently and like, oh my gosh, like how much thought I didn't realize I would actually have to put into even just high school and selecting a high school that might meet his desires for his future. So it's been a wild time seeing my husband go through something so hard and a business that I've built for over a decade start to collapse and me trying to figure out how to pivot and be able to continue doing this work because I will never stop doing plus size birth. I might have to take other pauses on the podcast, but I mean, hopefully not. But I will never stop doing plus size birth in whatever capacity I can until it is no longer necessary because I am so driven in creating change of what it is like to be plus size and pregnant and breaking down the barriers and weight stigma and biases that we face. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm just really having to figure out how to keep moving forward while supporting my family and knowing that eventually Chris won't be able to see. And I don't know to what extent, but we know that it's coming. Like we also, my life looks very different now. We have a lot of like magnifiers and and things to help him. And it's just, it's a lot. So yeah, it's been hard, but also wonderful watching my kiddo now be taller than both of his parents and sneaking up on his grandparents and even taller than my mom now. And he's good and he's thriving. And it was just so hard as a parent to be collapsing in one way and then trying to hold it all together for your family and your kiddo and still providing them with security and just a strong foundation of love, but also being honest of, hey, kiddo, things are tight. Like, we can't do all these things I know you want to do and the things your friends have. And so, yeah, it's been hard. But through it all, I've gotten through it and ultimately realized that I really missed y'all and I wanted to come back, but I only wanted to come back in a way that could be sustainable. So hence for the ads. And I mean, it would be wonderful that if there were enough sponsors moving forward, the ads could go down a bit. But for now, thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for tolerating a couple ads. And hey, maybe you'll learn about something new and cool. I sure have, actually. I was thinking of like the things I've learned about listening to podcast ads. So I hope that there'll be some balance there. But thanks for understanding. Thanks for being there. And I deeply appreciate you. So the show is back on. The show goes on with some incredible guest experts and stories headed your way weekly. So welcome back, friends. And until next time, goodbye.